Night They Deliver the Money by R.D. Wingfield, with Lockwood West, Michael Spice, and Aubrey Woods.
Chatteris, are you down there? Chatteris.
Merciful heavens.
Albert.
Yeah?
Over here, please.
Mr. Robbins.
If I appear shaken, Albert, it is because I have just seen a horrible sight. Would you look in number one strong room, please?
Yes.
Well?
It's a bit untidy, sir.
A bit untidy? It's a pigsty. I thought your boiler room was a hellhole, but compared to this...
Well, I'm a bit rushed off my feet today, sir. What with that special delivery coming in tonight?
Which leads me to my next point. Where are we going to put all that money? You couldn't get 5 shillings worth of coppers in here, let alone £250,000.
Go number two strong room, sir. That's where it's always gone in the past.
The past died 6 weeks ago when I took over this branch, Albert.
Yeah.
While I manage the bank, we'll obey head office regulations. To wit, that bank notes go into number one strong room only.
We've never worried about that before, sir.
I'm not getting through to you, am I, Albert? I will spell it out. What head office say, we do. The money will go in here.
That means I'll have to clear everything out.
Correct. And put it tidily into number two.
It's a lot for one man to do on his own.
Think of it as a penance. Anyway, I can spare no one to help you. We've got enough to do as it is. Apart from the special delivery, we've got the end of the month figures to get out, and I'm wasting time gossiping with you. Mr. Chatteris is upstairs, you say?
I didn't say so, but I expect he is. He's not likely to be down here giving me a hand, that's for sure.
Miss Page!
Hello, Mr. Chatteris. I almost given you up.
Sorry about that. Yeah, we probably overdid it this morning. Have I heard the alarm? Would happen today, wouldn't it? End of the month figures to get off and the money coming in tonight?
Yes. What time do you think we'll finish?
Oh, let's see. The security van's due at 7:35. Say half an hour to unload, 20 minutes to check it in, another quarter of an hour to clear up. With luck, we should be away before 9.
Doesn't leave much of the evening, does it?
No. I was wondering, Miss Page.
Yes?
What do you say we go out and have supper together somewhere? No point in going home and cooking for yourself at that time of night.
Oh, won't your wife be expecting you?
No, she'll be going out herself, as a matter of fact. She always gets into a flap on the nights they deliver the money. Imagines me getting caught left, right and centre. So I shall have to eat alone, anyway.
I see.
Well, just a suggestion. Obviously, if you prefer not to...
No, I'd love it.
Oh, good. Yes, well, that's settled then. I wouldn't mention it to anyone at the bank if I were you. You know how people talk.
No, I won't mention it, Mr. Chatteris.
Good. Yes, I know a nice little place. Yeah, where does all this traffic come from? I can't see us getting in until 5:15 at this rate. Mr. Robbins will not be best pleased.
Mr. Chatteris.
Good morning, Mr. Robbins.
Oh, good morning, Pitt. Mr. Chatteris not in yet.
Oh, good lordy. Is that the time, sir? No, he's not in yet.
Is it too much to expect people to be in on time today of all days? You don't think he's had an accident, do you? Could we finish the figures without him?
I could manage, sir, but I don't think it'll be necessary. Mr. Chatteris quite often arrives later than this.
Oh, does he? I must remind him of his hours of employment.
Oh, they only had filters, Mr. Pitt. All right.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Robbins.
What's this? You sent Tom out for cigarettes, Pitt?
Yes, sir.
With all the work we've got to do? Oh, well, what can you expect? With my chief clerk coming in whatever hour suits him, it's no wonder my staff go their own sweet way. Is your post book up to date, Tom?
Not quite, sir.
It's the end of the month, boy. You won't get it done in the cigarette shop. I want it all brought up to date and balanced by 3:00, not a moment later. Do you hear?
Yes, sir.
Whatever can have happened to Chatteris? He was all right last night, wasn't he? I hope he's not one of those people who get an unspecified disease when the end of the month figures are due.
Mr. Chatteris, sir. Oh, he was pulling into the car park as I came in.
Oh, good. He's decided to honor us with his presence after all.
Would you tell him, ask him, to kindly spare me a moment of his precious time as soon as he arrives?
Yes, sir.
I can rely on you, Pitt, to get your figures done in time, can't I?
I can guarantee them by lunchtime, Mr. Robbins.
Oh, thank goodness at least one of my geese is a swan. We mustn't give head office the slightest cause for complaint with late figures.
That was very clever, Tom, that was. Waving my cigarettes under his nose.
Oh, I'm sorry I never saw him.
Well, next time, use your eyes. Now get on with your work.
Here. Old Chatteris.
Mr. Chatteris.
Mr. Chatteris has Jean Page with him.
Hardly surprising, as he brings her to work every morning.
You reckon anything goes on between them two?
Wishful thinking on his part, perhaps. That's about all.
I reckon she's a cracker. Wouldn't mind having a go at her myself.
Yeah, she'd eat you for breakfast and still be hungry. If you've got any surplus energy, I suggest you expend it on your postbook.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, Miss Pitt.
Good morning.
Morning, Tom.
Good morning, sir.
Oh, I've never seen so much traffic on the road. You know, it took us a good 10 minutes to get here from the junction.
It's always bad this time of the year. I find you have to leave home earlier to allow for it.
Yeah, Mr. Robbins been asking for me?
He'd like to see you right away in his office.
Right. Are the returns coming along?
Have you done by lunchtime?
Good, he's bound to ask.
Nice of you to join us, Chatteris. Did you get my message?
I was just coming, sir.
At your convenience. I've already waited 15 minutes. Wasn't the window cleaner here yesterday?
Yes.
He's missed the fanlight again. I particularly asked you to check that.
Yes, I'm sorry, Mr. Robbins. Yesterday was an especially trying
day. Well, it means we've paid him for work he hasn't done. What an example. I hope we look after our customers' money better than we apparently look after our own. You'd better get Albert to do it.
He's not too fond of climbing ladders, sir.
Then he should have been a coal miner instead of a caretaker. I want it done, and I want it done today. If anyone from head office came down and saw that dirty fanlight... Oh, you'd better come into my office.
Right away, sir.
And stop gawping, Tom. There's plenty to do. The post book, for example.
Oh, yes, sir.
Come along, Chatteris.
Yes.
Sit down, sit down. You were late this morning.
Sorry about that. I overslept.
Spare me the sordid details. As long as you know you were late. I thought you might have some mistaken ideas as to our business hours.
Oh, no, come on.
You brought Miss Page in, I suppose?
Yes.
So she was late as well?
I did say I was sorry.
It's just not good enough, Chatteris. If anyone from head office had looked in and found that my chief clerk and my switchboard operator were missing today of all days... I shudder to think of their reaction. Nothing must stop the end-of-the-month figures going off tonight.
They'll go off, sir.
Head office are just waiting for me to slip up. I won't get a second chance, you know. Who's staying to see the special delivery in tonight?
Just the four of us. Pitt, Tom, myself, and Miss Page on the switchboard.
Count me in as well.
But there's no need, sir.
There is a need, Chatteris. I'm the one head office will blame if anything goes wrong. Will four of you be enough?
Ample, sir.
Well, with all that money, there should be more.
We've always managed with four, sir, but if you don't think it's enough...
Convince me that it is, Chatteris. Explain to me your procedure for seeing in £250,000.
It's very simple, sir. As one of the newest branches, we incorporate all the latest security devices. The armored van takes the slip road at the rear of the building, then reverses into our back entrance.
Reverses?
The service road is only wide enough for the van, sir. No room to turn round. This acts as a safety measure, of course. No fear of an ambush.
I see. Go on.
Well, it backs straight up to our loading bay. The money is wheeled on trolleys directly from the back of the van onto the moving ramp and into the vault.
Mm-hmm.
While this is happening, one guard remains locked inside the van in permanent radio contact with his base.
Good.
Any trouble, he'll have the police here in seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as I've said, the van blocks the rear entrance and the front doors of the bank are locked. So there's no chance of being surprised from either side.
Good.
And our switchboard operator remains by the phone in case a call to the local police is necessary.
I see.
The whole operation's over in 25 minutes, often less. The van waits until we close the back door of the bank and set the alarm. Not until that's done does it drive on.
And once the money's in the vault, you set the time lock for the next morning.
Of course, sir.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. I'm quite happy with that arrangement.
It was devised by head office, sir.
Then I'm all for it. Excellent. Well, now we come to point number two. Is there no peace? Come in.
Tom said you wanted to see me, Mr. Robbins.
Albert, yes, indeed, I do want to see you. Tell me something. What is the point of our being one of the most modern branches in the country if there is no toilet paper in the washroom?
I'm waiting for it to come in, sir.
Waiting for it to come in? That's not good enough, Albert. What are we to do in the meantime, pray? Supposing the managing director paid us a surprise visit. Well, get some, man. Get some. Today.
What, today?
Did Mr. Chatteris tell you about the fanlight?
fanlight?
I haven't had a chance yet, Mr. Robin.
The fanlight over the main door is dirty, Albert. Clean it, would you?
No, I've got no head for it, sir.
Then don't look down, man. Get it done today, please.
Well, it's not my job to clean perishing fanlights. I don't know what they expect me to do.
A surly type, Chatteris. Different to the chap at my last branch. Most obliging fellow. Would clean a fanlight as soon as look at you. I wonder what he does with the toilet paper. Now, what were we talking about? Oh yes, there's something else I must discuss with you. You're not going straight home tonight, are you?
No. I warned my wife I'd be late. She now expects me in early on special delivery nights.
Your wife knows about the money?
Yes.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. So your wife is in possession of classified information.
You can rely on my wife's discretion, sir.
I shouldn't have to, but I'm placed in the most embarrassing position where I must. I suppose the staff who are staying know what they've got to do.
We've done it many times before, Mr. Robin.
I know I've only been here 6 weeks, and I'm therefore comparatively inexperienced in the ways of this branch. There's no need to keep reminding me, Chatteris.
I didn't mean to, sir. I was just trying to reassure you.
I shall reassure myself, thank you. I shall check and double-check. I will not accept anyone's word without verifying it for myself.
I'd like to think you had some confidence in me, sir.
When I find fanlights uncleaned and toilet rolls missing from the washroom, I don't know in whom to place my confidence. Oh, if you're not going straight home tonight, perhaps you'd join me for a light snack somewhere. There are one or two things I'd like to talk over with you.
Oh, yes, well, I've already made other arrangements.
Oh, if I didn't consider the matter important, I wouldn't have asked you.
I'm sorry, sir, but it would be impossible for me to change my plans now.
I see. Well, you know your own priorities, I suppose. I had hoped to discuss staff matters with you. There's a vacancy for a chief clerk at Ealing.
Ah, yes, I had heard.
Head office, in their wisdom, have asked for my recommendation.
Oh, well, I've always wanted to get back to London.
What do you think of Pitt?
Pitt?
Yes.
Freeling?
Yes.
Well, he's a good worker, though perhaps a little limited in his outlook. His tongue is his worst enemy. Be quite acid to his subordinates.
I see no fault with it.
I just don't see him as a chief clerk, somehow.
He doesn't measure up to your own high standard, you mean?
Perhaps.
He seems to get in on time in the morning anyway.
It takes more than punctuality to make a good chief clerk.
But you're not much of a chief clerk without it. What, then, in your expert opinion, do you consider he lacks?
No, it's difficult to pinpoint. I find him a trifle, shifty.
Shifty? Nonsense. A touch of jealousy there, I think.
You asked for my opinion, sir. I've given it. I'm sorry if it doesn't coincide with your own, but it's honest and unbiased.
I've already recommended him.
Oh.
I consider him to be a very suitable man for the position.
I see.
You can't become a branch manager without being a good judge of character.
Quite, but I fail to see the point of you discussing it with me when you had already reached a decision.
Well, I was naturally hoping you'd agree with me.
I'm sorry, sir, but I can't change my opinion.
Oh, waste of time expecting loyalty from you, Chatteris.
I consider that to be most unfair. I gave you my opinion.
And I've given you mine. We'll leave it at that, shall we? Now, to a test of your own efficiency. The van which brings the money tonight will also be collecting the sealed bag for head office. I wish it to contain all our monthly returns. Do you understand?
You needn't worry about that, sir. One or two of the minor returns might have to wait until Monday, but all the main ones will go.
I know of no degrees of importance. I want all the returns to go.
Most branches leave the cash breakdown and the used note returns. They take time and they're not really essential.
I don't care what other branches do. In my branch, we do what I say. And I do what head office asks. They're just waiting for the slightest excuse, and they drop on me like a ton of bricks. All off tonight, Chatteris. All off. You hear?
Loud and clear, sir.
Coming home, Tom?
No, I'm staying on tonight, aren't I? We've got the money coming in.
You won't be at the match this evening, then? Oh, never mind. I'll tell you all about it tomorrow.
Oh, some people have all the luck.
You're telling me. Piling up all that overtime. See you tomorrow, then. Cheers.
Yeah, cheers.
You're the last to leave, Bill.
Yes, I think so, Mr. Chatteris.
Right, I'll get up and lock up, then. We don't want any unauthorized visitors tonight. Good night,
I'm still waiting for you to find that credit note, Tom.
Oh, sorry. Half of these are out of order.
They usually are when you do the filing.
Here it is. Oh.
Well?
You're quite right, Mr. Pitt. I have entered it wrongly.
And I've wasted half an hour trying to get this column to balance. Well, give it to me. I'll do it.
Oh. Just think of all that money coming in tonight. A cool quarter of a million. And all I get is 15 bob overtime, less tax. What does all that money look like?
Well, like pieces of paper. You don't know how lucky you are. In the old days, we had to drag it down to the vaults. None of the moving ramps we have here.
A quarter of a million pounds. Here. You know what I'd do if I had all that money? First of all, I'd book me a luxurious double room in a posh hotel at Brighton. And I'd take Jean Page down there with me for the weekend.
You're a disgusting little boy. With those sort of thoughts in your head, it's no wonder you misfile your credit notes.
Oh, how can you compare the two things?
There. Now, add it up and see if it cross-checks.
Right. Oh. Hello, Miss Page.
Hello, Tom. Just the four of us left, then. Plus Albert, of course.
There's five.
Five?
Mr. Robbins has decided to stay on.
Oh, no. I wouldn't have volunteered for overtime if I'd known he'd be here.
But as you are on overtime, I suggest you carry on with your work, Tom.
Well, no, I thought we were going to enjoy ourselves.
I'll be making some tea later on. You all want some?
Well, I don't think Mr. Robbins will approve of that.
Why, ever not?
He thinks we have too many brew-ups as it is. He stipulated that we can have one cup of coffee in the morning and one cup of tea in the afternoon, as laid down in head office regulations.
But we're here for at least another 2 hours. We've had nothing since 3 o'clock.
Oh, no, if head office found out he'd had an extra cup of tea, they'd crucify him.
Get on with your work, Tom.
Oh, well, I'm making some anyway. You can moan about it afterwards. You all want one, I take it?
Yes, please.
Oh, there's the phone. I'll bring it up 7, all right?
Oh, smashing. What would you rather have, Mr. Pitt? Over at Brighton or your credit notes?
For a junior, you have too much to say for yourself.
Here's your postbook, Tom. Mm.
Top marks for getting it to balance. No marks for the blatant forgery on the last page.
Hey?
If it doesn't balance, use a bit of subtlety.
What do you mean, Mr. Chatteris?
The 11th was a Sunday, Tom. Since when have we used 23 fivepenny stamps on a Sunday?
Oh.
Precisely. If you want to know anything about balancing books, ask Mr. Pitt.
What do you mean by that?
Nothing. Why?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was thinking of something else. What time is the delivery due?
Still set for 7:35, but if the traffic's anything like it was this morning, it could be nearer 7:45.
I won't be home before 10, as it is.
What on earth is that?
Now, the High Street door. Wouldn't be the van already, would it?
It's 6 o'clock. Hardly. And not at the front door.
Probably some fool wanting an overdraft.
No, you can't afford to take any chances tonight. Albert will see to him.
All right, all right. Yes?
Good evening, Albert.
I don't know you, do I?
Not all people are fortunate. May I see Mr. Robbins, please?
He's not expecting you, is he?
No. As a matter of fact, he'll probably have the shock of his life when he knows I'm here.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, sir. We're closed. They usually all go at 5:30.
But not tonight, Albert.
If you could come back tomorrow, sir.
Look, I tell you what we'll do. If you take this envelope and hand it to Mr. Robbins, then tell him there's a handsome gentleman waiting to see him. I feel certain he'll grant me an audience.
Oh, I don't know about that. Well, you wait here and I'll see. I'll have to ask you to wait outside, I'm afraid.
Oh, have a heart, Albert. Cats and dogs out there.
Well,
look, I promise to be good. I'll just shut the door behind me to keep out the drafts. And other undesirables?
I'm supposed to ask you to wait outside.
You did ask me, Albert, and I refused, so you need feel no shame. Now do hurry up with that note. There's a good chap. I've got a busy night in front of me.
And he wants to cast your nominations, too.
Very well.
Oh, who was it, Albert?
The bloke to see Mr. Robbins.
Oh, and did this bloke have a name?
Didn't ask him. He gave me this envelope.
Oh. Private and confidential. Well, hurry up with it. I want to keep him waiting in the pouring rain.
He ain't in the rain. He's in the lobby.
What?
He said it'd be all right.
Oh, you fool, Albert.
Well, now what have I done? Blimey, everyone's on edge tonight.
No one here.
Who's that?
Me. No, I'm up here, old man. Just looking at this window. You know you've got a faulty cash here. Well, how do you do?
Might I ask your business?
You might, but no answer would be the stern reply. My honeyed words are for the shell-like ears of your esteemed manager only. Now, you'd be William George Chatteris, chief clerk, married, no children, right?
You seem to be very well informed. Might I ask who you are?
Duncan. John Duncan. I'd get that window fixed if I were you.
Well, I don't know if Mr. Robbins can see you. We're very busy at the moment.
I have high hopes.
Mr. Duncan,
That's me?
Robbins, branch manager. Oh, today of all days.
Will you want me, sir?
Not at this stage, thank you. This way, please, Mr. Duncan.
Thank you.
My office is just through here.
Don't time drag.
Tom.
What?
Come over here.
Oh.
Over here. What is it? What do you make of that?
Whoa.
That car, the black one. See it?
Yeah. What about it?
It was there half an hour ago.
There's three men inside. Tough looking load of gits.
Well now, what do I wake up today?
Shh. I think we're being watched.
What?
Look where I'm pointing. Don't make it too obvious. That black car by the corner has been parked there for some time.
Sure.
Positive. It was there half an hour ago. There are three men inside.
The heavy mob.
Oh, we can't afford to take any chances. I'll go and tell Mr. Robbins.
Tell me what? Not that you're working too hard, obviously.
Sir, we're a bit worried about a car across the road.
Oh?
There's three men inside paying us rather a lot of attention.
Oh, let me see. Where?
The other side, sir.
You don't mean the black one,
do
you?
Oh. Yes, why?
Oh, dear, they do look a bunch of toughs, don't they, poor dears? No, I'm sorry to disappoint you. They're with me.
Is that supposed to reassure us?
Mr. Duncan is from head office, Chatteris.
Oh, I thought I knew most people at head office.
Inspection department, old boy. Internal audit.
And what does internal audit want with us at this unlikely hour?
It seems we have been singled out by head office for a special spot check examination.
At this time of night?
Well, there are four of us, old son. We're finished in no time.
But it's 6:30. You'll start tomorrow, surely.
Must finish tonight, old sport. Got to be in Cambridge tomorrow. The whole point of this new system is that we come in directly after you've finished your monthly figures. Then all we've got to do is check your cash balances. We should have been here hours ago. It's this damn traffic. Anyway, we'll be through in less than half an hour.
If this new system is only to operate at the end of each month, it rather restricts the number of days you can put it into operation, doesn't it?
You're not querying head office's actions, are you, Chatteris? For myself, I think it's a splendid idea. Some more of the excellent thinking we have come to expect from head office. Hey, Mr. Pitt.
Precisely, Mr. Robbins.
Oh, I haven't introduced you, have I, Mr. Duncan?
No.
You've met Mr. Chatteris.
Of course.
This is Mr. Pitt, my chief cashier.
Hello.
And this is Tom Potter, our junior.
Nice to know you, Tom. Well, there is one other, isn't there? Who was that well-developed girl I saw at the switchboard? Oh, I am sorry, old boy. Is she your daughter or something?
No. She's not my daughter.
Oh.
She is Miss Page, our switchboard operator.
I see. Look, would you excuse me now? I must bring the rest of my team in. The sooner we start, the sooner we finish.
Yes, of course, yes. If there's any way I can help you, you know where I am.
Thank you very much.
Charming men. Now, would you listen to me, the rest of you? They've got full authority to examine all our books, records, account cards, and cash balances. It couldn't have happened on a worse day, but there you are. Please try not to let it interfere with the monthly returns. The important thing with auditors is to show them everything they want to see promptly. We want them to have a good impression of us. So on your toes, please.
Does this mean they have authority to inspect the counterbooks, sir?
They have authority to examine everything, Pitt. If they wanted to look at the drains, I couldn't stop them. The counterbooks present no problem, surely.
Oh, no, sir. No.
Security people on the phone, Mr. Robbins.
Oh, Miss Page.
Anything wrong, sir?
I'm sorry to stare at you like that, Miss Page. I was just thinking of something Mr. Duncan said. on the phone, you see? Put them through to my office, would you?
Yes, sir.
Oh, has Albert got the fanlight cleaned yet, Chatteris?
Not yet, sir.
Get it done, man. Get it done. Put him onto it right away. I don't care if the height makes his nose bleed. That's one of the first things they look for. No point in our books being in order if our fanlight is dirty. You've got to watch these points, Chatteris.
I'll see to it right away, sir.
No. Get Tom to do it. Delegate. That's the secret. Tom.
Yes, sir.
Find Albert. I want the fanlight cleaned at once.
Yes, sir.
You see how simple it is, Chatteris. Now, my phone call. You'd better come along with me. Something we must talk about.
Right. You'll look after the auditors, won't you, Mr. Pitt? I say. You feeling all right?
All right. Of course I'm all right.
You look a bit pale.
I find this weather oppressive.
Mr. Chatteris.
Coming, Mr. Robbins.
Oh, very well. But try to keep to the time schedule. I've got staff on overtime here. Oh, The van's running 10 minutes late. A nuisance, but there it is. Well, we'll take advantage of the delay to have a little chat in private. Now, Chatteris, man to man, forget I'm your superior. What do you think of this Duncan business?
I think head office have chosen a damn funny time to send us the internal auditors.
A very funny time, Chatteris. That point didn't go unnoticed with me either. I may not say much, but very little escapes me. There's a reason behind it, of course.
Oh, you think so, sir?
I don't only think, Chatteris, I know. You've had experience of other branches. Have you ever known an audit to be carried out without the manager being warned in advance?
Once. This was a Darlington branch, but there were peculiar circumstances there.
Yes?
Well, concerning the manager, you...
I hope you're not implying that...
Oh, of course not. No, sir, no.
Certain people in head office, they don't like me, Chatteris. They resent me getting this post. Brand new branch, latest equipment. They'd like to see me fall flat on my face. That's why I've always got to be one jump ahead of them. This audit, you see. They're hoping they'll find something wrong. They come at the worst possible time. You've noted the cunning of their timing.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes. If I were you, I wouldn't put up with it. You're perfectly within your rights to make a formal complaint.
Oh, no. I'm not going to show my hand. Let them think they've got away with it. Let them get a sense of false security. My strength is that I know what they're up to.
To do nothing could be taken as a sign of weakness.
Oh, you think so? Oh, well, you could be right. You may well be right. They've shown me a chink in their armour. They shall feel my sword. Miss Page?
Yes, Mr. Robin?
Get me head office, please. I want Mr. Cordwell of Inspection Department. I told Pitt, by the way.
About what?
That I'm recommending him for promotion.
Oh, I see.
Well, good boost for his morale, I thought. Robbins?
Mr. Cordwell, sir.
Oh, put him through.
Very well.
Hello, Mr. Cordwell.
Yes?
Good evening, Cordwell. Robbins here.
Robin?
Manager of Dennington Newtown Branch.
Oh, Robin. Oh, you're working very late, aren't you? You just caught me. I was about to rush off my train.
Oh, sorry if I'm delaying you, but before making an official complaint, I thought I'd better have a word with you first.
Oh, quite, quite. You give me a ring first thing tomorrow morning. We'll have a little chat. Just straighten out any bother in no time.
Tell me something. Since when has it been the policy not to inform a manager as to what is to happen at his own branch?
Don't follow you, Robbins. What have we done? Forgive me, old man. Just putting me over, good on.
Why was I not informed that the internal audit were visiting my branch today?
Because they're not coming. They're not due at your branch for another 6 months.
Permit me to inform you that they are here now.
Rubbish.
Are you calling me a liar?
Perish the thought. It's damn funny, though. According to the schedule, they're in Newcastle.
Then the schedule is either wrong or it has been changed.
Ah, very probably. Phil, first thing in the morning, I'll look into it. Mustn't miss my train.
Oh, damn your train. I need to know the answer tonight.
I see. Very well, Mr. Robbins. I'll make some inquiries and phone you back.
Tonight?
Yes, tonight.
Man's a fool. All he thinks about is trains. As you probably gathered, he denies all knowledge of our visitors.
A bit funny, if you ask me, sir.
Oh, this is politics, Chatteris. Internal politics. It upset a lot of people when I was promoted. People with friends in high places, if you take my meaning. They don't think we'll stand up to this spot check. I take it there are no skeletons in our cupboards that I should know about.
Well, young Tom's a bit behind with his filing, but I hardly think that's going to cause much consternation.
Never underestimate your enemy, Chatteris. They could blow that up into something big. Watch them. Try to anticipate their every move. And keep me informed.
Yes, sir.
I wonder how he knew the money was coming in.
Duncan?
The first thing he said to me was that he hoped to be finished before the money arrived. Someone in head office must have a big mouth. Keep an eye on him, Chatteris. Get my meaning?
Yes, sir. Ah, there you are, Mr. Duncan.
Yes?
Are we looking after you all right?
Like the proverbial prodigal son, old fruit. Oh, come in, meet the rest of the team. This is Harding.
Evening.
Edwards.
Hello.
There's Brown over there.
Hello.
All right, chaps, keep at it.
Well, you all seem pretty busy.
Yes, unlike the lilies of the field, we've got bags to do and not enough time to do it in. Good, you want me, Edwards?
If you could just verify these
balances. Yes, I'll leave you to it, then. Anything you want, just shout.
Time knits itself, old man. Oh, Wait a minute, there is something as it happens. Do you think someone could show me around? I'm particularly interested in your new vault.
I thought you were here to audit our books.
Oh, yes, not only that, old sport. We have to do a full report on all aspects. Morale, housekeeping, the lot. Even the state of your toilets. Oh, top marks there, by the way.
Mr. Robbins will be very pleased.
Funny old cove, your governor, isn't he? Now, the point is that head office wants to be assured that your security arrangements are 100%.
Ah, very well. Mr. Pitt.
Yes?
Do you think you could take Mr. Duncan on a tour of inspection?
Oh, I was rather hoping I could have a word with you.
Oh, yes?
In private.
Oh, I see. But can't it wait?
No, it can't.
Tom!
Yes, Mr. Chatteris?
Tom, would you be so kind as to show Mr. Duncan around? He'll tell you what he wants to see.
Sorry to be such a nuisance.
No one from head office is a nuisance, Mr. Duncan?
We'll start downstairs, then, shall we, sir?
I am in your hands, Thomas.
This way, sir.
I wonder what his game really is. sorry, Mr. Pitt. Let's go to my office, shall we? We won't be disturbed there.
There it is, Chatteris. What am I to do?
You stupid fool, Pitt.
But that doesn't help me.
Well, the first thing you must do is tell Mr. Robbins.
No.
Well, don't be silly. You've got no alternative.
I can't tell him. He recommended me for promotion. I want that promotion.
Then if you won't tell him, I must.
You wouldn't dare. I told you in the strictest confidence.
No, you didn't. You told me in my capacity as chief clerk. I can't be expected to keep this to myself.
You'd be glad to see me out of the way, wouldn't you?
What on earth do you mean?
You're jealous.
Nonsense.
You didn't want Robbins to recommend me for promotion, did you? He told me.
That was most unethical of him. He asked for my honest opinion, which I gave him.
So I heard. Nothing you'd like better than to see me come a cropper, eh?
Oh, come on. Look, there's no point in arguing. Let's see Mr. Robbins and get it over with.
Now, this is what you wanted to see, Mr. Duncan.
Good Lord. Looks like Sing Sing prison, doesn't it? How do we get through the bars?
Well, as the time lock is off, we just press this button. And step inside. Welcome to the vaults.
Thank you very much.
It's completely fireproof down here, you know. That's to be. Yeah, we keep all our important documents, customers' deeds, luncheon vouchers and so on in this section. You see them little things in the ceiling there?
Yeah.
Those are special thermostats. Now, if the temperature rises above a certain level, they automatically set off the sprinklers and ring for the fire brigade. So, there's no use coming down here for a clerkly smoke.
Most impressive.
And over here, this is our number one strong room.
Uh-huh.
This is where the £250,000 going, behind this door. Even if you had a thermal lance, you'd never get through that. You need a small-sized atom bomb. Mind you, even if you used your atom bomb, you'd be wasting your time.
Oh, why?
Because it's empty.
Oh.
And because it isn't even locked. We again press the old button.
My word.
Yeah. Look at the thickness of that door.
Couldn't open that with a hairpin, could you?
As I say, you can only use the press button while the time lock is off. Once the time lock is set, it's impossible to get in until the time's up.
Clever. It licks the old piggy bank collar, doesn't
it?
Yeah. that's the ramp leading up from the back door, is it?
Yes, the money comes down on it and then straight in here.
How much did you say was coming in tonight?
Oh, something like £250,000. Special delivery, you see. All the factories on the estate go on holiday next week, so they've got all the holiday money to pay out as well as the ordinary wages.
Just four men and one girl to see it in?
Well, and the security men. All proper tough guys they are. Crash helmets, goggles, dirty great truncheons. And there's also a bloke locked inside the van ready to call the bogies at the first sign of trouble.
Oh, you've reassured me, Tom. I no longer have any fears for the safety of the money. I say, do you like working for the bank, Tom?
Well, it's all right, you know. A bit boring at times. Same old thing each day.
Well, supposing, this is just sake of argument, of course. Supposing there was an attempt to rob the bank. Bit of a roughhouse, say. What would you do?
Oh, well, I can use me fists. Oh, I'm in the boxing team down the club. Lick anybody my weight. I'll give as good as I gave.
I was afraid you'd say that.
Why?
Look, if it should happen, stay out of it. Don't be a hero. For the sort of money involved, those boys play for keeps. So stay right out of it.
They wouldn't scare me.
I know what I'm talking about, Tom. Do what I say.
Well, nothing's likely to happen, is it? Do you want to see the boiler room?
I think I can just about stand missing that experience.
Oh,
well, can we go back to civilization?
Sure, yeah.
Thank you.
Turn left in.
Huh?
You better sit down, Mr. Robbins. Oh. You look a bit shaky.
You did what, Pitt? I borrowed £200 from my float, sir.
Today's a nightmare. Everything is going wrong. Did you know Albert had put his ladder through the fanlight, Chatteris?
No, I didn't.
I'm sure he did it on purpose, but that falls into insignificance beside this.
How could you do this to me, Pip? I was going to pay it back Monday, sir, at the latest.
That might as well be never. The auditors are here now. My enemies in head office couldn't have arranged my downfall better.
Why, Pitt? Why?
I was offered this car, sir. Almost brand new. The owner was going overseas and he wanted ready cash. He had someone else ready to smack down the money, but he gave me first chance. Oh. I'm cashing in my premium bond, sir.
Premium bond?
The money should have been here by now. It might even be waiting for me when I get home. I never dreamt they'd be coming today.
So you are short of £200 in your float, and the internal auditors are at this very moment waiting to go through your books.
I'm not a superstitious man, but at breakfast this morning, I spilt the salt. There's more things in heaven and earth than ever could be.
You realize, of course, Pitt, that my letter of recommendation, putting your name forward for promotion, is already in the post?
I don't know what to say, sir.
They'll crucify me at head office for this.
I'm sorry, sir.
Sorry? That's a great help, isn't it? That puts it all right, I suppose.
Just a suggestion, sir.
Yes?
Perhaps we could get the money back in Mr. Pitt's float before they check his books.
Oh, don't talk rubbish, Chatteris. If you've nothing better to add than that, keep quiet.
There's over £200 cash in the Social and Sports Club fund, sir.
And there's over £1 million in the Bank of England, sir, but that doesn't help us.
You may not be in charge of the Bank of England, Mr. Robbins, but you are in charge of the sports fund.
Well, yes, the money's in your safe.
Couldn't we borrow £200 of it?
I've heard some stupid things from you since I joined this branch, Chatteris, but it appears you have unplumbed depths.
It would put Pitt's float right.
Of course it will. Even I can see that. But what do I tell the auditors when they check the sports fund and find £200 missing?
They never do, sir. I've seen umpteen audits. They never check the sports fund.
And how many audits have you seen where the manager was not warned in advance they were coming?
A good point, sir.
But... I've got no choice, have I? Against a risk or a certainty, I must choose the risk. Oh, I hope you're satisfied, Pitt. You've turned me into a criminal, aiding and abetting your offence.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, that's right, thank me. The way that Burke thanked Hare. I won't be able to look myself in the face again. You won't mind silver, will you? I rake up a certain amount in notes, but the rest will have to be in small change.
And I'll tell you another thing.
But don't tell me, Al, but tell Mr. Robbins. I've got all these figures to add up.
Anyone would think I broke the damn thing on purpose to hear him carry on. But it's just I can't stand ice. If they want a steeplejack, they should find someone else for the job.
Yeah. Oh, come off it, Al, but you've got a cushy little number here, and you know it.
Eh?
Easy hours, charming workmates, well paid, and all the toilet rolls you can nick.
Yeah, I'm not having that.
I'm sorry. Look, I tell you what, you bring them all back and I won't say another word about it, all right?
Nearly finished, Albert?
Yeah, I'm finished, sir. I'm finished.
I thought the auditors were in here, Tom.
Oh, no, well, they're with Mr. Pitt at the counter.
Oh, all right, I'll take it. Hello?
Is Mr. Robbins there?
No, not at the moment, Jean. Who'd you got?
Mr. Caldwell from head office.
Oh, put him through. Hello?
Who's that?
Chatteris here, Mr. Caldwell.
Oh, I wanted your Mr. Robbins, actually.
Ah, well, if you hold on, I'll have a scout round.
No, please, you'll do. I really missed one train. I say, Chatteris, strictly between you and I, is Robbins all right?
How do you mean?
Well, he's been rambling on to me about internal auditors. I mean, I shouldn't know if he's got them or not, shouldn't I?
Well, yes.
Tell him I've checked and double-checked and still come up with the same answer.
Yeah?
They won't be with him until November the 16th. He's got plenty of time to sort out his fiddles before they get there.
Yes, sir, Mr.
Better not tell him that last bit. He mightn't think it funny.
No.
I won't think it funny if I miss another train.
Yes.
Well, tell Robbins to give me a ring tomorrow if he's still not satisfied.
Yes, but that's all very well. Hello? Oh, damn.
Anything wrong, Mr. Chatteris?
I don't know, Tom.
I say, Chatteris, what do you think?
Huh?
I didn't need to use that money after all.
Didn't need to use it?
By the time I got there, they'd already checked my ledgers and my float. They didn't find anything wrong with it.
But you were £200 short.
I know. I never thought I'd have such luck. Peculiar blooming auditors, if you ask me. I say, did you notice? One of them has got a cauliflower ear.
Oh, really, Chatteris, do you take me for a complete and utter fool?
Mr. Corbel was most emphatic, sir. We don't get the auditors until November.
So the four men I've seen walking about out there are figments of my imagination.
No one's denying they're here, sir. The point is, who are they?
You tell me, Chatteris. I'm just a stupid bank manager who accepts things at their face value, particularly when they are backed up with documentary proof.
Documentary proof?
Of course. You don't think I'd let anyone into my bank after closing hours unless I had irrefutable proof of their identity? Duncan handed me a letter, if you recall.
Yes.
It was a letter of introduction signed personally by the general manager of our head office. It was absolutely genuine.
But if I was going to steal 250,000 quid, sir, I'd make damn certain that any forged letter I presented would look absolutely genuine.
I am not that easily fooled.
Mm. Well, just as a precaution, sir. No harm done if we're wrong. Shouldn't we phone the police?
Be the laughing stock of head office? No, thank you.
Surely it would do no harm to phone them, sir.
Come in.
Oh, I'm sorry to bother you, sir, but the auditors would like to see the overtime books.
Excuse me, Chatteris. There we are, Tom. Bring it straight back when they've finished.
Thank you, sir.
Well, does that satisfy you, Chatteris? Funny kind of crooks if they're interested in our overtime records. I was already satisfied 100%, but I'm even more satisfied now.
Then I beg to differ, sir.
Your privilege, Chatteris. As long as you do not let your panic show itself to other members of the staff.
I'm not panicking.
A matter of opinion. Drop this in the filing basket on your way out, would you?
Very well, Mr. Robin. I won't bore you with my hysterical theories any longer. But I would like to make one thing clear. If there's a post-mortem on this, I want it put firmly on record that I warned you.
Post-mortem. Well, yes, sir. Perhaps be on the safe side. Miss Page?
Yes, sir?
Will you get me Inspector Green at Manor Road Police Station, please?
I'm sorry, Mr. Robbins, but there's a bit of trouble on the board. I can't get any outside lines.
Oh, the telephone service. Have you reported it?
Well, I'd have to go outside to do that.
No. You stay here. The money should be arriving in less than 5 minutes. I want no one to leave the bank. Oh, dear, nothing seems to be going right today. You'll explain to the auditors if they want to call, won't you? Tell them it isn't our fault.
Clock watching again, Tom?
Who? Oh. Never saw you there, Mr. Chatteris. I just want to get the money in, that's all. You know, time drags when you're waiting, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, it will pass quicker if you try doing a bit of work. When am I going to see the bottom of this filing basket?
Yeah, all right.
Where's Mr. Pitt?
Oh, he's in the machine accounts room. He's got the sulks over something.
Right.
He's frustrated, if you ask me.
I didn't ask you.
And he's not the only one.
Ah, there you are, Pitt. I was looking for you.
Well, now you've found me.
Anything wrong?
Anything wrong? What's going to happen to me? That's what I want to know. What about my promotion?
That is up to Mr. Robbins.
I know. What's he going to do?
I've no idea.
It's so unfair. It's so damned unfair.
Oh, come on now. You misappropriated £200 of the bank's money.
Misappropriated? Don't be so damn smug. I borrowed it.
Borrowing implies a willing lender. Not quite the case in point.
Oh, so high and mighty, aren't you? The man who does nothing wrong. Does your wife know how you lust after Jean Page?
No, you
I've seen
care.
You looking at her.
This time you've gone too far, Pitt. Oh, yes, Miss Page?
I'm not interrupting, am I?
No.
Tea's outside if you want.
Ah, just what I could do with.
What about you, Mr. Pitt?
Oh, might as well, I suppose.
Oh, smashing cup of tea, that was.
Any more going, Miss Page?
I don't know how it's going to go round yet, Tom, but if there's any left over. No. Mr. Chatteris?
Thank you.
Mr. Pitt? Mr. Pitt?
Hey, oh, yes, thank you.
Better let Mr. Robbins have the one with the matching saucer.
ETA 4 minutes, gentlemen. Oh, what's this? A picnic?
I've made tea, Mr. Robbins.
Tea? When did I give you permission to make tea?
You didn't, sir.
It's over 4 hours since we last had a cup, Mr. Robbins.
Useless information, Chatteris. I don't want to know.
Well, surely it's not unreasonable to expect a cup of tea when one is working overtime.
If head office had thought it reasonable, they'd have made provision for it in their rules, but they didn't. I take a very serious view of this.
I'll remember next time, sir. Would you like a cup?
With the auditors here? You think I want to commit commercial suicide? That would look good in the head office report, wouldn't it? The manager and staff caught drinking tea. No one's to have any. Put it down, Chatteris. And you, Pitt?
Certainly, Mr. Robbins.
Good job I came in when I did. Take it away, Miss Page.
Straight down the sink with it. And next time, remember the rules.
Rules are made to be broken.
Not in my branch, they're not.
Give me your cups.
Oh, by the way, Miss Page, any luck with the phones yet?
Not yet.
Phones? What's wrong with the phones?
Oh, take it easy, Chatteris. There's a cable breakdown or something. We're temporarily cut off from the outside world.
What?
A damned inconvenient today of all days.
Uh-huh. The picture's beginning to build up, isn't it? Four mysterious auditors whose existence is denied by head office, a large consignment of money coming in, and now the phones are cut off. I don't like it.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Chatteris, you're behaving like a screaming hysteric. Calm down.
He's right, Mr. Robbins. They look more like prize fighters than auditors. Well, I'm telling you one thing. If it comes to violence, leave me out. I want no part of it. I'm not risking my neck on a cashier's salary.
They used to give white feathers to men like you, Pitt. Why, even Tom, the office boy, and... Tom. Tom. Well, what's happened to him?
Tom? Tom? He's out cold.
Loosen his collar.
Is he dead?
No, of course not. I'd say he'd been drugged.
Drugged? That's it. He's been drugged. The tea. He was the only one to drink the tea.
This is serious. Well, it just shows what happens when head office orders are disobeyed.
When they find out the drug hasn't worked, they'll cut our throats.
Not in my branch, they won't. Hand me that round ruler.
No, don't offer them any resistance.
Look out, someone's coming.
I'm ready for them.
I put it away. Oh.
I'm sorry, Miss Page. I thought you were one of the enemy.
Jean, while you were making the tea, did anyone come in?
That Mr. Duncan, the auditor, and Albert. Why?
Ah, all right, Chatteris. It's pretty conclusive. I must say it doesn't surprise me. I had my suspicions right from the start. Didn't want to say anything until I was absolutely sure. Oh, I don't suppose any of you spotted that cauliflower ear.
We did, as it happened, sir.
Oh, I see. Oh, well, right then. We know what they're after, so we'll plan our strategy accordingly. One round ruler among four is hardly adequate, but the office should yield other weapons.
What about this?
Put that down, Miss Page. That's the most expensive adding machine.
Oh.
I admire your spirit. You've got the right idea, but your taste is a little too costly. Nothing over £5, I suggest, gentlemen.
I think one of us should slip out and fetch the police.
We can't. They'd see us going through the main office, and the money's due any moment. The fire axe. Grab it, Pitt.
Oh, no. I'm not having my skull split open. I'm staying out of this.
Oh, really, Pitt, you disappoint me. You get the axe, Chatteris.
No one touch anything, please.
Duncan.
Put down that ruler, Mr. Robbins. I've no doubts at all as to your courage, but we'll massacre you. My three companions are all very strong men.
Do what he says, Mr. Robbins. Look, Duncan, I'll do whatever you want. I'll offer no resistance.
You're behaving like a grade three clerk.
Just do what I say and no one will get hurt. We're going to have to shut you up for a little while, that's all, while we conduct a little business up here. What's up with the boy?
You should ask that.
What do you mean?
After drugging his tea.
I see. Well, he'll be all right. Just to be on the safe side, you'd better take him down with you. Do you think you can manage him, Mr. Pitt?
Of course I can. I'll cooperate.
You're right, Chatteris. Pitt is shifty.
The security fence is turning into the slip road.
Okay, Edwards. Now, you and Harding get this locked down to the vaults, quick. And then come straight back here. Any trouble, don't hesitate. We've nearly left it too late as it is.
Come on, then. Put a bit of life into it, quick.
I'm warning you. I shall send a full report to my head office on this. Don't push me.
No, leave me alone.
Don't get in.
Hey,
let her
alone.
Stand there.
A brave try, Miss Page. Better to have tried and failed than never to have tried at all. A lesson to all of us. Pitt? I think Tom's coming round. Do you think you could go and look after him?
Yes, of course.
Oh, she's got spirit, that girl. Oh, what's up with you, Pitt?
How long do you think the air in here will last?
If you breathe shallowly and don't get too panicky, I'd give it at least 100 years. Those three ventilators are big enough. Oh, this place is in a bit of a mess, isn't it? I suppose we could usefully employ our time tidying up the shelves. What do you think they're doing upstairs, Chatteris?
They'll be offloading the money now, Mr. Robbins.
I don't think they're going to find that part of it too easy. The security guards won't hand it over to complete strangers.
They could try force.
Not with the inside man in permanent radio contact with his headquarters. No, Chatteris, they won't fool the security boys. You mark my words.
Relax, Edwards, relax. Look natural.
You're a bank employee on overtime. That's better.
Good evening.
Good evening. We're all ready for you.
Where's Mr. Chatteris?
Oh, he's off sick, I'm afraid. Oh, didn't your firm get my phone call?
Can I see your authorization?
Yes, yes,
no,
certainly.
No, stay there. Throw it to me, please. Thank you. Oh, yes, I see. Well, we received your phone call, sir. Sorry for the precautions, can't be too careful.
Thoroughly agree.
Okay, Harry, open up. Right, sir.
Well, come along, Edwards, and you, Harding. Give the gentleman a hand.
Yes, sir.
How are you feeling now, Tom?
Oh, all right, thanks, Mr. Robbins. Just got a bit of headache now.
Oh, that'll wear off. Yeah. Could have been a lot worse. Well, Chatteris, from the bumpings and scrapings we've been hearing from above, it rather looks as though they've done it.
I'm afraid so, sir.
Well, I think there's one thing I can say without any fear of contradiction. Head office will never forgive me. This is my Gotterdammerung. I will be disemboweled for this.
Well, you did your best, sir.
My best was not good enough, Tom. I was tried in the balance and found wanting. Mm-hmm. I shall have to get another job.
Oh, no, sir.
I shall accept full responsibility for everything, of course.
Well, it's no one else's fault, is it?
Irrespective of whose fault it is, I shall accept full responsibility.
I've just thought. As they weren't auditors, there was no need for me to have told you about the £200,
but
I could have kept my mouth shut. It would have been paid back by Monday.
Yes, they rather spoiled things for most of us. I shall lose my job. You will lose your chance of promotion. And Chatteris will miss his dinner engagement.
Eh?
You told me you had an unbreakable appointment for dinner?
Oh, yes. Yes, of course.
And what about you, Miss Page? Did you have any plans for this evening?
Yes, I did.
Never mind. We'll be able to kill all topics of conversation stone dead in the weeks to come. Hello.
What's going on up there now?
Sounds like a punch-up.
Just what I was thinking. If they mess up the paintwork... Good heavens!
They're opening the door.
They're going to kill us.
Oh, do be quiet, Peter, or I'll save them the trouble. Look, quick, all of you. Tom, yeah. Lie on the floor. The rest of you bend over him. Look concerned.
Right, sir.
I shall stand by the side of the door. The first person who enters will feel the weight of this shelf support on his skull.
All right, you come out
now. Yes, sir.
What?
Oh, no, you don't.
Oh.
Get out. Drop it.
No.
Drop it, I say.
Oh.
I'm sorry about that, Mr. Robbins, but you meant business, didn't you? Well, I hope that wasn't your credit note, Han, but before anyone else gets any bright ideas, I think I'd better fully introduce myself. I'm Chief Inspector Duncombe of CID.
It, sir. All the money is safely stowed away, and I've set the time lock.
Good. Well, Inspector Duncan, I trust we can now have some explanation for the extraordinary happenings of this evening.
Oh, there's not much to tell, really, sir. We had a tip-off from a well-informed source that there was to be an attempt on your money shipment tonight. Now, these boys had apparently spotted your Achilles heel.
Oh? And what's that?
The front door of your bank.
But it was locked.
Yes, well, I'll come to that. You see, they reckoned that if they could get in, intercept the money after it had left the van, but before it reached your vaults, they could defeat all your marvelous safes and four-foot-thick doors. So my chief got in touch with your general manager. He gave us that letter of introduction appointing us internal auditors. And then, having got in, we could take your place and be ready for the attack.
As auditors, you and your men fooled no one. You were pretty pathetic, I can tell you.
You do surprise me so. They're all trained men from our fraud squad. Oh, by the way, your float was 200 short, did you know? I didn't mention it earlier, didn't want to complicate things. Anyway, as I was saying, we got you out of the way, left the front door ajar, as arranged, and waited for them to walk in. And we got the lot.
Yes, but why all the mystery? Why couldn't I be given the courtesy of being informed?
Because, sir, our informant also told us that it was essential for the gang to have someone working for them in the bank.
Huh?
Someone who could unlock the front door for them. They couldn't get in otherwise. It had to be an inside job.
An inside job? A member of my staff? Oh, nonsense, Inspector.
Your security arrangements couldn't have been beaten otherwise, sir.
Of course, I should have guessed. Haven't you noticed? Someone has been missing all this time.
Albert.
Precisely.
Albert, oh, good Lord. He was a bit slap-happy on his paintwork, but his toilets were brilliant. I would never have suspected him.
No, it wasn't Albert, sir. When we found him, he was out cold on the boiler room floor. You must have given him a very large dose in his tea, Miss Page. You might have killed him, you know.
Miss Page?
What are you talking about?
Albert will be all right, but don't try that again. There's a good girl.
Miss Page?
Inspector, you've got to believe me. I don't know what you're talking about.
Don't waste our time, Jean. Your boyfriend has confessed all. He couldn't tell us fast enough.
I shall deny every word.
We found out where you disconnected the outside lines from the back of the switchboard, and I'm sure that when we search your handbag, we'll find the drugs you used in the tea. Not that we need them, really. Your boyfriend has done us proud. Edwards?
Sir?
Take Miss Page down to the station, would you? I'll be along in about 15 minutes.
Come along, miss.
All right.
Oh, my God. Miss Page.
I wouldn't feel too sorry for her, sir, if I were you. She's done time before.
Oh?
Jeweler's shop. Managed to get the keys from her boss, then helped herself to his stock one night. You know, it's a funny thing. She appears to have a way with men.
Yes. Yes, so it would seem. How's Albert, sir?
Oh, we've taken him home, Tom. He'll be all right.
Oh.
Well, now, if you'll excuse me, I've got a lot to do.
Certainly, and thank you for what you've done.
Can I give anyone a lift?
Perhaps you'll take Mr. Pitt and Tom. Chatteris and I will lock up.
All right, then. Come along, you two.
Good night, Mr. Robin.
Good night, Tom.
Oh, come, Chatteris. I've had enough for today. Too late for your dinner appointment, I suppose?
Yes. Yes, sir. So, my wife will be pleased to see me.
Charming woman.
Yes, sir. Yes, she is.
Hello. What's this?
Oh, no. Our end of the month returns.
But they should have been handed to the security van.
But we were locked in the vault. There was nothing we could do about it.
It's all right for you to talk, Chatteris. Head office won't take that as an excuse. They're supposed to be in on the first day of the month, come rain or shine. Well, this is it. This is it. Head office will hang, drawn, quarter me over this. You mark my words. They'll boil me in oil.
In The Night They Deliver the Money by R.D. Wingfield, Lockwood West played Robbins, Michael Spice, Chatteris, and Aubrey Woods, Inspector Duncan. Pitt was played by Jonathan Scott, Miss Page by Jill Simcox, Tom by Nigel Anthony, Albert by Andrew Sachs, Cordwall by Jeffrey Wincott, and Bill by Anthony Whelan. The play was produced by Glyn Dearman.